and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, as I said earlier, thank you for your word. Now I pray that that you'll speak through the preaching of your word today, and we'll trust you again for the outcome. And I pray you use me, Lord, just to preach your word with power and conviction. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is Consider Your Ways. I've got all this underlined, a bunch of things, so I know and you know that I've probably preached out of this text before. But the two verses, verse 5 and verse 7, really what I want to think about today or preach about today is that verse, that text that says, consider your ways. The background of what was going on in that day, in Haggai's day, the foundation of the temple, and this is the rebuilt temple, this is in 536 B.C., the foundation had been laid. Well, it had been laid in 536, this is some years later when he spoke. But this was the temple that had been rebuilt. But what happened was they had got the foundation laid, and then the excitement started to die off a little bit. You know how that happens. You know, we're human nature doesn't change. I don't care if it's 536 B.C. or it's today. Our human nature doesn't change. And a lot of times with things, excitement, enthusiasm kind of wanes a little bit. And that's what happened in that day. And you got to look back. Well, why was the temple being rebuilt? Well, the temple's being rebuilt because the first temple, guess what? People's priorities changed. They got away from God. God warned them about it. And he said, listen, if you don't change your ways, if you don't consider your ways, I'm going to destroy you. And I'm going to, you know, you're going to be carried off into captivity. And the temple, and that's what happened. Guess what? The same reason. The temple, in other words, God's business got put on the back burner. And it got put on the back of people's minds, the back burner of people's minds and their lives. And God wasn't a priority. And God judged them. This is God's people now. God's people that God got on the back burner of their minds, on the back of their heart, and God judged them for that. It wasn't the lost world he was dealing with. He was dealing with his people. And so what happened? The temple was destroyed, but then, you know, of course, the captivity period ended, and they got back, and some of them came back to Jerusalem, the ones that wanted to get back, and they started to rebuild the temple, and then guess what? They got the foundations laid, and now all of a sudden the work stopped, and it just ended. All the excitement and all the zeal died off, and like I said, it's a human nature thing. We see it all the time. You know, things we've done, things we're doing now. Just not too long ago, a few months ago, we decided we do the men's fellowship breakfast over here at church. And man, we had a big old crowd, man. It was good. Will pointed out Saturday, he said, man, we were eating at 8:15. The thing starts at 8, 8:15. We wouldn't even get the waitress in there at North Star by 8:15. Stanley wouldn't have the list to give her by then. But now, you know, five people showed up. You know, what's happened? The zeal dies off. I understand it. Hey, if you can't make it, I mean, things come up, and sometimes you just can't be there. I understand that, but we've had other things happen. We did have a prayer meeting. Remember the prayer meeting a few years ago? We went, and it went really good. I'm telling you, well, we had ladies meeting in our house, and the men were meeting here. We were talking about that just the other day, and we 2 years we did that on a Tuesday night. 2 years solid, buddy. We had, hey, you remember that? We had a big revival during that time, too. Man, we went 7 weeks in a row with people getting saved. People were getting saved before Sunday school started. They were coming in the doors of the church. We hadn't even got there and said, man, I need to get saved, and they got saved, man. Why? Because I believe because we spent a lot of time in prayer. We spent a lot of time in the Word. But you know what happened after 2 years? And that's a long run on human nature right there. Trust me. That's a long run. It started just dwindling down to where, you know, and it just felt like time. We were still having some men come, but it just felt like, okay, what God wanted us to do there, it's run its course, and we ended that as well. Way back in some of y'all's time, remember when we had family night? This is before some of y'all's time. We had family night on Friday night. Remember that? I don't remember if we did it. We didn't do it every Friday, I don't think. It was every other one or once a month or something like that. And we'd have everybody, we'd say, all right, Friday night, this is what we'll do. Everybody bring in food, and we'll have a potluck dinner. And we had a softball field down there. And, man, we had tables set up outside, and people was bringing chicken. And, man, I mean, it was great. We played softball. I had enough people to have two teams to play softball, and some of them was playing volleyball, and I think we had horseshoe pits back in those days. We played horseshoes. Well, boy, after just a few months of that, next thing you know, you didn't have enough people to play horseshoe. Huh? The ants were going on strike because there wasn't enough food. They couldn't carry enough food off to eat, man. I mean, you had to come to this, and then you had to go out to eat after you left because you didn't get enough here because not enough people came. What happened? Well, it's just, you know, different things. We had to do this, and this came up, and Johnny had to go here, and Susie had to go there, and that's the way it was. And you know, things happen. It shows you something about our human nature. And what happens is we get, our priorities start to change a lot of times in life. You know, our priorities day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, priorities begin to change, and that's what happened. And in Haggai's day, they were all fired up, man, we're going to get the temple built, and they got the foundations laid. And then what happened was, and he talked about it there, the people went about their own business. They started working on their house. Well, you know, and you got to work on your house. He talked about sealed houses. That means they spent a lot of money on it. Not everybody had sealed houses in those days. You had to spend some money on that. Matter of fact, if you study that out, you'll find out that they had stored up some wood for the temple when the temple was going to get built for the inside of it, and all that wood got gone somewhere. And many of them believed that a lot of people got that wood to fix their house, and they didn't fix up the house of God. That's what they did with the wood. And so, it stopped. And what happens is, what it means is that the burden for God's work, you know, I don't know that it ceased, but it certainly got shuffled around in the minds and the hearts of God's people to the back burner somewhere. You know, so where it's like, it's back there, it's simmering, but it's not the priority. And what happened was their business, and here it is, what gets in the way of us serving God, by the way? Yeah, our business. See, their business came to the forefront. And listen, it's not a condemnation of your business. I mean, we got stuff. Listen, if you got a hole in your roof, for Pete's sake, you got to get up there and fix it, right? You got to get that done. You got your business, but listen, God's business has got to have a priority, and it should be the priority. Because here's what happens. People are pretty much busy people. I know people that can't sit still for nothing. I mean, I got a brother-in-law. He likes to watch the car races, but he can't sit still to watch them. He got to get a radio with the car race on, stick it in his ear, and find out, you know, one winner and 41 losers or whatever, 42 losers, whoever's going to be at the end. He got to have that on while he's doing something. He sits in the cotton picking deer stand, deer hunting with a car race on in his ear. I can't do that, man. But he's one of them. You know, his mind's got to be busy all the time. Business doesn't stop. People's business didn't stop. They stayed busy, but the priority shifted over to something else. It was their business and not God's. It went from God's work to personal work. And God's business became neglected. And so Haggai said to this, he said, listen, consider your ways. And what he said was, that word consider means to think. Think about it. Think about what you're doing. That would be another way to translate that. Think about what you're doing or what you're not doing. Where are you going? And this is where this is going to apply to us, because we're not building the temple in the same sense. But listen, we are building lives. You know, and we are supposed, if you're here saved, and most everybody in churches today, they would say they're saved, we're God's people. All right, what are you doing? Where are you going? Or what direction is your life heading in as far as the things of God goes? And what will the end result be of where you're going in life? What's the end result going to be? You know, what will it end up? If you keep going a certain way, how will that work out? You know, the Bible says, so he said, consider. He said, I want you to think. And the Bible says, we watched a little video on Wednesday night, actually. It was kind of right. I said, man, that's right on time with what I was already had this outline together, what I was going to speak about. And it was Billy Graham was saying some things, you know, about the mind. The Bible says a lot about the mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh, I'll put that in, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you think in your heart, what do you think about all day long? Huh? You know, well, it's not the same thing, but there's going to be something in your mind that's a priority. There's going to be something that pops in more than anything else. You know, what do you think about all day long? This is one, listen, your mind and your heart are really closely, you know, I don't know how it's going to work, you know, what's in your heart gets in your mind, or what's in your mind gets in your heart, and it probably is a vicious cycle that's going around and around and around. And so guess what? Satan attacks the mind. He attacks your mind because he wants to get you thinking. He don't care what you think about. as long as it's not God's business. You know, it has anything to do with God, or it has anything to do with being godly, or honoring God. He doesn't care what you think about it. It could be anything. It could be something not sinful. It doesn't have to be sinful. You could think about anything, you know, of themselves are not sinful things. So Satan attacks the mind. You know, one, we see that Satan attacks the lost mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, speaking of Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And you know, what is that? And people have studied, said, you know what, does Satan blind the minds of people so that they can't believe? And if you go on and read the rest of that, it says so that they might come to the light of the glory of the gospel, the glorious light of the gospel, something to that effect. Well, this is what it is. Satan blinds the minds of the people that will not believe. Not that they cannot, but they won't. They just won't. And there's people out there, you know, they can't see it to save their life. All the ridiculous things that goes on in the world, we see how government's going and all that, and there's people that just sit there like a bump on a log, and you and I can see plain as day how Satan's hand is in all this, and there's some really idiotic stuff. It doesn't even have to do with Satan or anything, and you're just thinking, how in the world can people think this is okay? Because Satan has blinded their mind. And there's people that you and I probably know that we've talked to, and you can't understand. They don't want to have nothing to do with the gospel. There's people that they get mad. They get mad at you, you know, if you talk to them about the Lord. They don't want to have anything to do with it. Here they are lost. I mean, all you're trying to do is lead them to eternal life. It'll lead them to Jesus Christ and get them saved. But they don't want to have nothing to do with it. And you can't understand it. I mean, because I wasn't like that when I got saved, so I don't have a hard time understanding somebody. I didn't mind talking about it. But we wonder, why is that? Why can't they see it? You know, and everybody's probably got somebody today have tried to pound it in there with a sledgehammer, and they just can't get it because Satan has blinded their mind. And now, they don't want to see it. If they want to see it, they get through all that. But they part of it is they don't want it, so Satan goes on continually, and he blinds their mind. Romans 1:28 talks about the reprobate mind did not like to retain God in their knowledge. The reprobate mind does not like to retain God in their knowledge. See, and so we look at what goes on in the world today. Anything that reminded, there's that word reminded them of God. Let's get Bibles out of school. Let's get prayer out of school. Let's get Bible and prayer out of government buildings. No Christmas cards. Can't send, you got to send happy holidays. No manger scenes at Christmas time, government property. You know, they probably... They would outlaw it on every property, and one day they probably will if the Lord don't come back. Crosses, you can't have crosses in places. And Ten Commandments in the courthouse, y'all remember that deal right there back some time back. And so, and sometimes in some countries and societies, and even in that society, they wanted to remove Christians off the scene. And there's some countries today, they want Christians. They'll remove you. You can go in Muslim country. Try wearing a cross around your neck in one of the Muslim countries and see how far that goes. Huh? You have to hide that thing. Yeah. I had a friend. I worked with a guy that his buddy had gone over. It was over there, and we were helping Saudi Arabia out. We were helping them out. And when they had that little crisis over there at Kuwait thing, and he said his buddy, he was in the military, here are U.S. forces walking on their soil. We're shedding our blood, helping them out. And the guy had a cross on his neck. And he said, this Muslim guy, come up, soldier. Man, he said he couldn't understand a word he said, but he did one thing, he wasn't happy. And two, he wasn't happy about that cross right there. He had to take that thing and put it inside his shirt. He did not want to see it, even though, you know, we were there helping us. So that's the way, and it's not, listen, it's the same way. There's people in the U.S., it's the same way, man. I mean, people that live in this world, that mind, their mind has been blinded by Satan. Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It means it's an enemy against God. Ephesians 4:17, talking about the lost, walking in the vanity of their mind. Y'all know people like that, man, they think they got it. They don't have God. They don't know God. They don't want to know God. They think they got it all figured out. They think they're smarter than you, and they might be, but not on the point of salvation. And they don't want to have anything to do with God and His Word, and they just know it all. Anybody know a know it all? Huh? Y'all know a know it all? Yeah, we all know them, right? We know that's what they think. They think we're know it alls because we're trying to tell them something, but that's just the way people think. And so Satan keeps the mind occupied. This is one of his tools. He keeps our minds cluttered up. How many of you ever have a distracted mind? I'm telling you the truth, man. You know, I've shared this with you before. I've had to read the same paragraph in the Bible 3 times. Because when I was reading it, I was thinking about something else. And then I read it again. And I get maybe 2 more words for it. Then I got to do it again. And I can't get focused. Or you get in bed. How many of you lay in bed at night and you can't go to sleep? You know you're tired. But your mind goes from this thing to that thing to this thing to that thing. And none of it's got anything to do with God most of the time. Amen. You start thinking about God. That's a good way to go to sleep. Read your Bible. Fall right asleep. You start reading the first chapter, man, you sleepy as all. Satan will use whatever he can to do it. And so we got this occupied, a busy, a cluttered, and then we get to sinning, because the Bible says not to be anxious or to worry about things. And guess what? You know, Sherry last night, she worrying me about Charlie, man. Every time the phone, she'd dive out of bed like a stormtrooper, man, get that phone text, Charlie, man, I hope her stomach's all right, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, okay, you know, we prayed about it. And I understand, you know, we were worried about it. We get worried. So, you see, she didn't get no sleep either. Worried about that. And our mind just like, you know, it gets, and Satan doesn't care. Think about everything, but we don't worry. People worry about everything but eternity. They're not worried about where they're going to spend eternity. Why? Because Satan don't want you to get on that subject. If your mind starts getting there, he's going to put something else in there. That's what he does. That's the lost people. Now you got to save people. And Satan can't get our salvation, but he can sort of worry your mind. He can get, you get thinking wrongly. How many of you ever think wrongly? You ever think wrongly? Yeah, like 5 minutes ago. Yeah, we think wrongly. And he gets us distracted along that way. And in Haggai's day, listen, they got busy. All he did was get them busy building their houses. Wasn't nothing wrong with having a house. But what God was saying, what he was said there, basically what I was saying, just a story. What about my house? Huh? You got your deal down. What about my house? Should have been first, by the way, right? Put God first. Should have been first. And they built their houses, sealed houses, expensive houses. And they had their parties, and they had their eating, and they had their drinking. And listen, it's no different today. Now listen, what I'm about to say, I know somebody's going to get their shorts in a knot about it. And I'm not condemning any of these things. I got them myself. But man, you know how big we get houses, man. We got boats and we got campers and we got Harley Davidson. See, I got a Harley Davidson. Some of y'all don't got that. And we got the motorcycle. We got all that stuff, man. And now guess what? Well, you know, we bought a camper. We got to go camping in it because we bought it. And next thing you know, man, and nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with camping. I like going camping. I understand it, man. Pastor Hay will be here next Sunday. We're going on camp. I get it. I get all that. But what happens is, it's one thing after another. It's one thing after another. There was a family here one time, and I thought they had dropped out of church. And hadn't seen them in a really long time. And finally, man, after like 10, 12 weeks, they showed up. You know what it was? Travel ball. Gone every weekend for travel ball. Spent thousands of dollars to take John. I ain't got nothing against the ball. But I mean, what about God? Where was it? Where was God at? Where was the time for God? I mean, it was just, you know, and this, so what I'm saying is, it's like a balancing act there. It's okay to have time for them things, but you got to have time for God. And what happened was all of God's program, all of the building program, the temple, and you know, and listen, folks, in that day, it wasn't like going to church. You had to go to the temple. You had to have the animal sacrifice. You couldn't just blow it off and everything be all right. They had to have it. This was like a priority, man. They had to have the temple. They had to do the sacrifices according to, under the law, they had to do it that way. Or their relationship with God was not right. And guess what? We ain't worried about it. Went out, they're building their houses and doing all the other things. It's okay to do those things. But what about God? They didn't have that squared away. And so, instead of seeking God first in His righteousness, God ended up on the back burner somewhere. Now listen to this. I got a little star by it. It means it's important. When the priority of God's people is not God, then their lives are out of order. Our lives are out of order. And that's all Satan can do. He can't get you salvation. I'm not saying that you're not saved. But boy, I'm going to tell you what. He can get that mind and he can get us distracted. And he's good at it. He is good at it. And he gets it. He gets it too. So Haggai said, listen, he said, consider, think about your ways, not anybody else's ways. Because, you know, we always like to think, oh, yeah, this message is just really for so-and-so over there. Boy, pastor's really nailing that guy over there. No. He said, consider your ways. And he said, ways, your activities, your paths, the direction your life is going. Think about that. He said, consider that. There's four things I'm going to talk to you about this morning, things to consider. And the very first one is consider your duties. And this is really to the saved person, to the person that is God's already. Consider your duties. Our duty, according to Mark 12:30, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. It said this is the first commandment. This is also called the greatest commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself is like it. It's next. Love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Right there. And then we're also, that's our duty. That's a command that we're to do that. Man, I know, you know, and I've said this over and over, and as I got deeper in my Christianity and in my walk with God and looked at all the failures which stacked up greater than any victories I might have had, I found out something that, you know what, in my strength, I can't love God like I'm supposed to. I can't do it. As a matter of fact, you can't live the Christian life at all in your own strength. You can't do it. It's impossible. The Christian life is the impossible life. But see, if I'm crucified and Christ liveth in me, then it's a possibility. That's I got to be dead. Huh? Yeah. You know, I like, well, Brother Lynch was talking about that one time. He was talking about being crucified with Christ and taking up your cross and following. And the lady said, man, you sound like God's trying to hurt me. He said, no, ma'am, he ain't trying to hurt you. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to kill you so that he can live through you. Okay? Amen. So you know what? I can't love God in my spirit. So you know what? I pray every day. I said, Lord, help me love you more. Help us love each other more. You know, I can't even love you like I'm supposed to. Can't do it. I ain't, you know, because I don't have it. I can't love you like I'm supposed to. I can't love God like I'm supposed to. We can't love each other. Now I just pray God will love somebody through me. That's what God's got to do. Huh? That God has got to do it. And it took me a long time to learn that. It took me a lot of failures to learn that. I still mess it up a lot of times. The Bible tells us to go in all the world and preach the gospel. There's a duty right there. That's a command. That ain't a suggestion. Probably shouldn't have said ain't, but did. Y'all read next, y'all know. So go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's a duty, right? Consider your duties. Who's going to do it? Huh? Who's going to do it if we don't do it? Government? Huh? School teachers? Not that there's safe school teachers and all that, but boy, they limited what they can do. Who's going to do it? We got to do it. It's us. Go in all the world and preach the gospel. Also, the Bible tells us that we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. That's a representative, that we represent Christ on this earth. When he left and he left us down here and he filled us with his spirit, we took his place in that sense right there. And then we're called to obey God. You know, Satan, and this is probably the longest point, so the other ones will go by quick, so don't get in a panic. Satan tried to get Jesus, remember when he tried to get Jesus to change the bread? He'd been fasting for 40 days, and he said, I'm going to change the stones into bread. You know, boy, what a temptation that is. I haven't been eating bread. I mean, you know, I lost all this weight, and I've been eating bread. But boy, when you got that homemade bread and it's smelling, I might, and I probably would be tempted to put a little butter on there. Man, that'd be good. I can almost smell it now. But we don't make bread, so I don't have that temptation. But he tempted Jesus. He said to turn these stones into bread. And I talked about it. It wasn't long ago. I preached on that probably maybe, I don't know, back in this past year sometime. Bread's not sinful. Even Jesus working a miracle is not sinful. But doing something that God doesn't direct you to is. That was the lesson we learned. God didn't tell him to do it. Satan told him to do it. And obeying Satan is never going to be good. It's never going to be right. And so what happened? But back to the mind thing. What Satan was doing with Jesus, or trying to do it with Jesus, what a knucklehead, is to get Satan. Satan wanted Jesus to change his priorities. That's all Satan does for you. He wants you to change your priorities. There's 10 things. The first thing, he wanted to change the priority of his will, Jesus' will. Satan wants to do that with you. He wants to change the priority of your will. But see what it was, it wasn't God's will that Jesus turned the stones into bread. Listen, if God had wanted Jesus to have bread, the bread would have been there. He'd been fasting 40 days and God the Father knew that. So he wants to change the priority of will. Whose will is it going to be? Isn't that the battle every day? Isn't that our battle? Whose will are you going to listen to? Look in the mirror. You going to listen to that guy? Or are you going to listen to God? And every move we make, every time. And listen, it's easy on the easy things. It's easy on the things that we already got a mind to do. But what about when it's not a mind to do it? What about when it's a hard thing to do? What about when it goes against what common sense or circumstances or not only common sense, but just how you can think how it ought to go? What if it goes against that, but God's saying do this? Okay, you know, so the battle of the wills, you know, that's the deal. That's, you know, my own worst enemy is me. I look in the mirror every day at my worst enemy, myself. He wanted him to change the priority of his will. The second thing, he wanted to change the priority of the body. Satan wanted Jesus to give his body priority over obeying God. Here's another struggle that we see in the world today. That's what it is, man. After all, it's, you know, self. It's that old self guy there that we're trying to do. We got to feed that. And listen, the agenda of the social gospel that's out there today is the same as that. Put the needs of the body over the needs of the soul. That, and our mind thinks like that a lot. That's what we do. Listen, when we sin, I don't care what, you know, when you sin and you go into something that you shouldn't, what are you trying to do? You're trying to have fun, pleasure, satisfy something? You think it's going to be good? It's the needs of the flesh, if you want to use the body. The flesh, satisfying the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the Bible talks about, instead of the desires of God. That's what Satan wanted Jesus to do. Change his priority right there over the will of God. Put his body over that priority over that. He wanted him to change the priority of reputation. He said, if thou be the Son of God, which if you study your Bible very much, you know that word if can be since. He knew it. Since thou be the Son of God, perform a miracle. Instead of obeying God, perform a miracle. You got a right to, right? You got the power to do it. Which come up next. That next thing he wanted him to change was the priority of privilege, that since he was the Son of God, that he could do it. Listen, just because we can do something doesn't mean it's right to do it. You got that? Just because you can do it, huh? You know, if you could offend me and I could retaliate, I might say I got the ability to do it, the power to do it, the right to do it. But if I study far enough, I'll find out I really don't have the rights, because a dead man don't have no rights, right? Right? But just because I can do something doesn't mean I should do it. This is where, you know, God, the leading of God comes in. Just because I can do it doesn't mean I should do it. Because it might not be in God's will. Just because we have the power to do something doesn't mean it's God's will. Or the power, the ability, the means, the finances, the time, whatever you want to put in there. We have all that to do it, doesn't mean it's God's will to do it. And then he wanted him to change the priority of circumstances. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, you've been fasting. I don't know how many, if anybody's ever fasted any length amount of time. I've gone a ways. And I've talked to people. I talked to a guy one time, a missionary we used to have. He told me he was a stocky guy. Some of you might remember it was when we were on the old side. He was a missionary to Iceland. Came in here. This you'll remember. He was wearing saddle shoes, white and black saddle shoes and a suit. And he was going to Iceland. He came in. He was this husky guy. He called me one day. I was in the office. He said, I got something for you. I said, okay. I was working over there at the house doing something to the parsonage. And he pulled up, man, and the guy, man, he looked like a beanpole. I said, what happened?
He said, "Brother," he said, I fasted 40 days. 40 days? I said, "How was that?" He said, "You better pray about it before you do that." He said, "You better pray about that right there. I'm going to tell you what, you've been fasting 40 days. The circumstances are dire. You're on death's doorstep, except for God. Turn these stones into bread." The circumstances would dictate nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with bread. Matter of fact, when you come off fast, that's one of the things they recommend you eat just a little bit of for something like that. You don't want to have like chili, pizza, you know. You want to eat something gentle, you know, bread is good. And so the circumstances. But the circumstances never, listen, circumstances never justify disobedience to God. Never. I don't care what the circumstances are. If I don't tell a lie, I'll lose my life. The circumstances still don't justify it. They never justify that. And that was but what Satan wants you to do is, and Satan's good at point. Look at your circumstances. Look how bad they are. Huh? Get your mind on it. You know, the glass is not half full, it's half empty. See, that's where he gets you. He gets you looking at the negative, not the positive. Satan always gets you looking the wrong way. And then the circumstances look bad enough and you think, man, I want to trade obeying God for my circumstances, or my priority of obeying God for my circumstances. The priority of pleasure. I'll tell you what, you fasted 40 days, bread would have been pleasure. Man, it would have been good. And this is the world's problem. This is our problem. We're always trying to be happy. We're always trying to have pleasure. We're always trying to satisfy something. And you ever know, how many of you ever noticed when you eat that you're going to get hungry again? You ever notice that? Isn't that something? How many of you ate breakfast this morning? All right. How many of you going to eat lunch? Well, listen, what you can do, guess what? You're going to be hungry again by supper. Just don't eat lunch and just combine the two hungers together and just eat one more time. See? That's how you lose weight, by the way. Just don't, huh? I mean, you're going to get hungry again, right? Boy, what an illustration of what Satan tries to offer. It never satisfies. It's never enough. How much food is enough? Huh? You know. Huh, boy, you get that bag of them crunchy Cheetos. I get the family bag. I used to. I could eat the whole thing. And you know why I eat the whole thing? You know how you get all the orange all over your hand? See? And you hate to, you have to go in there and wash them off to do anything. You can't touch it. You can't get the TV remote. You better get it on the channel you want it on before you start. Okay? And then you start eating and you think, well, if I go in there and wash my hands. See, I tried this. I go in there and wash my hands and put the bag up. And 5 minutes later, I'm back getting the bag in and got my hands all orange again. Just eat the whole bag. Just eat the whole bag. That's what we do. It doesn't satisfy. Sherry comes in. Where's them Cheetos? I don't know. I don't know what happened to those things. A dog got in the house, and man, she just tore that bag up. But the problem, this is really a major problem in the world, and it's a major problem in the church. Pleasure has taken the priority over purity. It's taken the priority over the purpose of God, our pleasure. There's a priority of self, which all of this revolves around now. Satan wanted Jesus to prioritize self. Now listen, if Jesus had obeyed Satan, he would have sinned, and he no longer would have been the Redeemer. He no longer would have been the Savior of the world. All of us would still be lost on our way to hell. He had to put us over himself and obey God. That's heavy stuff right there. Yeah, that's what he had to do. Satan has tempted you the same way. There's the priority of the temporal. Like I said, that's probably my point from that about how we eat food and we get hungry again. Remember what Esau? Esau said he was starving to death. Esau wasn't starving to death. He was hungry. He starved to death. Sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage, I guess they call it, you know, porridge. What? Just a bunch of vegetables meshed up. Man, I'd have got more out of it in that deal than that. And we don't have to have a T-bone and a lobster or something. You know, I'm going to get a bowl of soup. He did. And then there's the priority of sight. Satan tries to get us to change our priority because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. right? And it's hard sometimes when you can't see. And there's something there that you can see that's drawing you or tempting you. And Satan's saying, look, go for that because you can see it. When God says, listen, the spiritual thing, you can't always see the spiritual. You got that? So he wants us to trade that. And then the priority of the false. Eating bread would have looked like success, but it was false. So he says, consider your duties. Got two things I'll get you, three things I'll get you real quick on these. Consider your devotion. I said a while ago, as a man thinketh, so is he. What do you think about most? How is your devotion to God? Consider your deportment. Your deportment is how you look. How you look does matter, by the way, as far as abstaining from appearance of evil, the Bible says. What are you doing? Is it honoring God? Is it glorifying God? What's your lifestyle? What's your habits? Where do you go? Who do you hang around with? What's your speech like? What's your attitude? That's a good one. You know, you can have a bad attitude and never say nothing. And there's people, you know them and I know them. There's people, you don't have to. I remember there's people, they come in the church door, I'm thinking, uh-oh. Huh? I already can tell when they come in the door, it ain't good. Huh? I mean, it's not a good deal, man, because they show it, you know, our attitudes. What's it like? Is it glorifying God? Is it going to be, or what we do and act and say and go and all those things, are they acceptable unto God? And then the last thing is consider your destiny. And this is one thing Satan doesn't want. He don't care what you think about, as long as you don't think about that. Huh? Don't think about your destiny. You know, put it on the back burner. Put it off. I'm going to tell you, there's a judgment day coming, and it's sooner than you think. I believe the Lord's coming back, man. I mean, it's certainly closer today than it's been. And we see what's going on in the world. Listen, there's a judgment day. And Haggai said this, and I'm saying this today as well. Listen, consider your ways. Think about your direction in a spiritual sense. Think about your direction. Let's all stand to heads bowed and eyes closed. Paul will come.